This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's Monday, 8th of April, and you're with The Morning Run. Julian Ng, Lin Mark and Sharitz Abdullah with you. And looking at the international markets and the performance on Friday, the US markets were in most of them in positive territory as there is optimism about the conclusion of the U.S.-China trade talks. President Donald Trump's top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, said that U.S. and China are getting closer and closer to a deal, and there is a lot of teleconferencing going on.
Yes, so the Dow was up 0.2%. The Nasdaq and the S&P were both also up 0.5% to 0.6%. Asia-Pacific markets, China's markets were closed on Friday for the Qingming Festival. So elsewhere, the Japan's Nikkei was up 0.2%. The Kospi gained 0.1%. And at home, the FBM KLCI ended down 0.2%.
Right, and also on the other side of the world and closer to home, Australia will probably head to the polls on May 18th. Local media has been reporting that Prime Minister Scott Morrison is expected to wait for another week to call a federal election. So this delay is calling a vote would allow coalition lawmakers to sort of gauge support in the electorate for the federal budget. And Morrison government delivered its budget last week.
Okay, to help us make sense of what's going on in market, we have Stephen Innes, Head of Trading and Market Strategy with SPI Asset Management. Good morning, Stephen, and thanks for joining us. It seems that the US and China are making progress towards a deal, and over the past few days, high-level officials have met in Washington following discussions in Beijing in the previous week. When do you see this giving you conviction that these trade talks are finally coming to a close?
I think when we see both leaders sit down and actually get the pen out and sign the deal. But until then, I think there's just an element of uncertainty that's going to hang over these trade negotiations. But given the U.S.-China trade dispute is the strongest headwind global markets have faced over the last year, I think equity markets are going to catch a significant updraft when the deal's finally tabled. But I think right now, it seems to me, at least from my seat, the markets seem more enamored with China markets and trading the so-called proxies. I think this boils down to one significant factor, and that comes down to the MSCI rebalancing. And my fear here is that a lot of investors in regional proxy expect a big bounce in the local markets. But I'm also thinking here that this rebalancing could start vacuuming up a lot of local money. So we have to be cautious as to how the global bounce in equity markets could happen or could unfold. Nonetheless, I expect to see a positive knee-jerk reaction.
Now, Stephen, the oil rally continued. So Brent crude hit about $70 a barrel at the end of last week, rising some 6% over the last month. But with geopolitical concerns out of Iran, Venezuela, and now Libya, how far do you see oil going this year?
That's interesting. You know, I always tend to follow the flow when it comes to oil, and we continue to see hedge funds piling into U.S. crude futures as the positive sign. And we start to look at reasons why. Obviously, the ongoing OPEC saga, which is all revolved around supply cuts. My model suggests that around 70 prompt Brent, we believe the cuts are full compliance is priced in here. But now the market's pivoting to escalating tensions in Libya and also a possible slowdown in shale production, as well as a nascent global economic recovery. Let's not forget, we're starting to see the PMI indexes in both China and the U.S. start to pick up. So this is also supporting the notion that we could see an uptick in the demand side. But overall, right now, I think the market's focusing on Libya, and I think this is possibly could see oil prices accelerate, especially if the eastern oil region in Libya comes under attack from warring factions. This is a possible issue. The other issue that we're looking at here is getting back to the trade talks again. We think we'll see a significant bounce on commodity prices in general, and oil will probably track significantly higher. My target here is around $75 to around the $80 level tops. I think there's going to be a lot of political overhang in the U.S., especially from President Trump, if prompt Brent makes its way up to $80 per barrel.
And Stephen, on gold, China is on a gold buying spree as their reserves grew for a fourth straight month. So this is suggesting that this could add optimism that central banks globally will continue to build holdings. What's your outlook on gold?
You know, I was really, really bullish on gold entering this year, and a couple of the price targets were reached. I was looking towards 1325 to 1340 as a top, but I'm now a little bit circumspect over the markets. A couple of things haven't really fallen into place. On the positive side, we have the dovish central bankers, right? And low interest rates are very, very good for gold prices, especially when there's a lot of geopolitical uncertainty going around the world. But equity markets have done relatively well compared to what we had all expected. And it seems right now we could get a positive bounce on equity markets because the trade deal is about to come up. And I certainly don't view this as positive for gold over the near term. The other fact that we were factoring, the other fact we were pricing in was a weaker U.S. dollar going forward into 29. But U.S. dollars remain very well supportive on two fronts. One, safe haven demand, and also the fact that it's the highest yielding currency in G10. So it's also attracting currency carry trades, believe it or not. It sounds odd to think about the U.S. dollar as a carry, but it's certainly a positive carry when we're discussing the G10. Overall, I think it's going to take a couple of things here to get gold drifting higher. One is we're going to have to see weakness in the equity markets, and we're going to have to see the underlying weakness in the U.S. dollar. But in the meantime, getting back to China's buying spree here, that's very, very supportive, and that suggests to me that gold will remain supported on the downside, so I expect buyers on dip. I'm personally looking to get back into the market again around the 1250 to 1275 level. I think that's a possible downside move, especially if equity markets continue to do well on a knee-jerk reaction to the U.S. trade sanction, the U.S. trade dispute going through.
Thanks so much for joining us. And that was Stephen Innes, Head of Trading and Market Strategy with SPI Asset Management. And talking about oil prices, they have hit an 18-month high to a current price of US$70 per barrel thereabout. The recent low was achieved back in recently in December, where it was $45 per barrel. And I guess that at that time, the Malaysian government was very spooked about the downturn in oil prices because the budget would have to be adjusted at that time. And we know that we are an oil-dependent nation, not in terms of the consumption, but in terms of the petrol dollars coming into our budget, padding up our budget. And over in U.S., President Trump has a difficult decision to make as well because he has less than a month to think about these sanction waivers that have been given to a few countries of dealing with Iran, which is under sanctions in the United States. Right now, some countries, including China, South Korea, Turkey, and Japan, are allowed using these waivers to trade with Iran. That's coming to an end soon. And so this difficult decision is about whether you want to end these waivers and allow domestic oil prices to go up, which would be very burdensome for the nation.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we're talking about an estimate about 1.76 million barrels a day of crude and left for Iran for those five countries in March. And also, currently the numbers actually contradicts claim by the U.S. that oil market conditions are better than last year for speeding up the goal of zeroing out all purchases of Iranian crude. For the first time in about 5 months, crude prices have nearly risen about 50% since Christmas, with WTI rising $62 a barrel last week.
Yeah, so there's this ongoing unpredictability in two oil-producing countries. This isn't going to make it any easier for Trump to decide. I mean, so Libya is currently facing uncertainty with escalating violence in the capital. And after the mass blackouts in Venezuela last month, some damage has been done to their pipelines and tanks, which could take months to fix. So Trump now has two choices. He can continue to lean on Saudi Arabia and the rest of the OPEC Plus group to raise output, or he can allow the unused Iran waivers to expire.
Yep, that's right. Just appealing to an old friend and form of OPEC and Saudi Arabia. And I think there is a lot of geopolitical discussions over there on that side as well. But bringing it back home, our budget has assumed US$70 per barrel. And Stephen Innes is saying that his forecast is 75 to 80. So we are in the clear for now for the budget because we are depending a lot on Petronas for some of the budget funding. Okay, we'll be back with some local news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.